This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Second game is the Texans and the Chiefs in Kansas City. Here to give us a hands-on look, because a guy who covers them day in and day out in KC for the, in Houston, covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle. Beat reporter Aaron Wilson joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Aaron?
Doing great, thank you. About 16 degrees here in Kansas City, a lot of snow, but they say the weather's going to be good tomorrow, about 40 degrees and clear, so looking forward to watching this game.
Thank you very much for taking my first question. I was going to ask you, what's the weather like in Kansas City, but you already told us. So, coat needed tonight, tomorrow, not necessarily the entire winter weather attire needed, but should be good enough by game time from what you're hearing.
Yeah, that's my understanding, that they put the tarp on so the field will be dry and should be great conditions for playoff football at Arrowhead Stadium and historic place. And these teams were here in October. Texans won. A lot of changes since then. Been an interesting matchup.
All right. Were you there for the October matchup when, as you state, the Texans beat the Chiefs? You say a little bit of differences and changes to both teams. Certainly level of play has changed as well. How were the Texans able to win that game? I know it's kind of a wild game with a lot of first-half scoring, but they were hang on and win in the second half. How'd they pull it off?
The way they did it, they ran the run-pass option really to a T. They played to an offense tailored to Deshaun Watson's strengths, and Carlos Hyde, against the team that traded him right at the end of the preseason, he ran the ball right down their throat, and it was a winning combination, and there was some pressure on Patrick Mahomes, and he was not 100%. He still threw three touchdowns, but he was hobbled a little bit, so I think that limited things. And they did a decent job on Travis Kelce, not as well with Tyreek Hill. He gave up a couple of touchdowns to him, but their secondary since then, they've added some personnel. They traded for Gerrion Conley. They picked up Vernon Hargraves. Those guys are starters now, the nickel and the starting outside corner, respectively. Bradley Roby got hurt that game. He's back now and picking off passes. And you know, it's still kind of a bend-but-don't-break defense, but they got J.J. Watt back this last game, and he gave them a spark. What I think has really been the most dramatic change is the Chiefs. 11.5 points allowed over the last six games of the season, and they're on a six-game winning streak. And Patrick Mahomes is completely 100%. And not only does he have the cannon arm, but he's got his ability to scramble and ad-lib and improvise. Two of the best quarterbacks, not just best young quarterbacks, but best quarterbacks in this game, and they're going to square off. It should be very much a fascinating matchup to see these guys go at it.
All right, I want to touch on a couple things said there. I think Gerrion Conley has kind of been an under-the-radar big addition for teams heading to the playoffs. There were two other D-backs that changed teams, neither of which made the playoffs. Minkah Fitzpatrick played very well for Pittsburgh and helped them get into the mix, but they came up short, and Jalen Ramsey got dealt from Jacksonville to L.A. Still not enough of an addition to the Rams to make the postseason, but Conley has upgraded that Texans defense in the secondary. How big a part of it has he been?
He's a big part of it. This guy's a first-round draft pick out of Ohio State, and I don't think that's a first-round for nothing. He's got talent. He's a long corner. He's got recovery speed. Doesn't get a lot of interceptions, but he's very good at deflecting passes. He's a little more physical. He looks. He's not the biggest guy in terms of just frame, but he's tall and long-armed. He's kind of wiry. He's deceptively strong. I think he does a very good job of the trail technique and then kind of letting people think someone's open and swooping in, knocking out the football. And he's been a good addition. He's a very quiet, humble, low-key guy. I've gotten to know him a little bit since the trade, and he is a guy that likes to fly below the radar, I believe, does not seek attention, social media, any of that stuff. He's just a pretty quiet guy, and they like him a lot, and he's under contract. That was one of the things they were trying to do, was acquire sort of depressed assets under Bill O'Brien, who's essentially like the general manager. they're adding guys like Conley that they think they can do something with. And so far, that's been a really good addition.
Would tend to agree with you there, for sure. We're talking to Aaron Wilson from the Houston Chronicle. Cubs to Texans, prepping for tomorrow's Houston-Kansas City matchup in the divisional round NFL playoffs. Last week, I thought the play that your quarterback made, avoiding not one but two sacks on the same play and then getting the ball downfield to a wide-open receiver. And I can't really blame the defense because I thought he was dead in the water, too, and sacked, was one of the more singular plays in the season this year. Did any of his teammates give him any grief during the week? Like, hey, tough guy, if I hit you, you know, you're going down. You're not shedding me there. Was there any jovialness in the locker room after a win and after that kind of play?
There were guys watching it on the phone, Laremy Tunsil, the Pro Bowl left tackle, watching on Deshaun's phone. Everyone was kind of in awe, even Deshaun. And Deshaun doesn't do a lot of things, I think, that make him, you know, really sit up and take notice and say, wow, I just did that. This was one of those times. And this, Bill O'Brien thinks when he got kicked in the eye against the Raiders and still threw the touchdown, that ranks above it because he was had a bloodshot eye for weeks. And it was a crazy play. He was just checking to make sure he still got an eye. And while he's doing that, he's rolling right and throwing a touchdown. But to me, this, because of the stakes and taking these heavy hits, those were big kill shots. And he just braces himself, bounces off, spins out, then takes a third hit from Jordan Phillips, who's 6'6", 314 pounds, and throws a strike to Tywan Jones, special teamer, backup running back, doesn't play a lot. And he could scoot. He runs a 4-3-3. I thought it was a great play, and it was all – ad-libbed. He also did something, too, where he checked before the play because he knew that they were looking for him to throw to DeAndre Hopkins. He decided to change the play a little bit, make an adjustment, go to Tywan Jones. So in that one play, he showed toughness, poise, an arm, and his mind. So that's the thing about Deshaun Watson. He plays fast, and he thinks fast. And I think that, you know, when you talk about cutting edge of quarterbacks, we're talking about Mahomes and Watson. That's what these guys can do. But yeah, that's an incredible play. I mean, that's like Lamar Jackson type stuff. It's amazing.
Don't know if he commented it individually or you guys were able to ask him about it, but this is a showdown between two quarterbacks who were drafted in the same draft. Oh, by the way, Mitch Trubisky was taken before both of them. Oops. But Mahomes, a couple of picks before Deshaun. They did go one-on-one earlier this year. Deshaun got the leg up. But Mahomes already has an MVP in his back pocket. Is it a friendly competition between the two? Is it a still-got-to-prove-it competition between the two? Is it a deep disdain between the two? If you know, what's the relationship between Mahomes and Watson?
Yeah, we've had a lot of time to talk to Deshaun about Patrick. We've seen Patrick do a lot of interviews about Deshaun. They are friends. They have been on fields together. They've worked together. They know each other and respect each other. And yeah, it's not really, when I think of rivalries, I mean, usually I think of, you know, it's going to be kind of heated. It's not like that. I think they just literally respect each other's accomplishments. They talk each other up, and I think they're fans of each other, their games, the way they play, and they're both nice guys. You know, I haven't heard anyone say a bad word ever about Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. I got to know Patrick a little bit during the draft process. Talked to him the day after he visited the Texans and met with Bill O'Brien. Texans love that guy, and we're considering him. Bill, and then the Chiefs, you know, land him. Then they get their franchise quarterback. As you said, Mitch Trubisky, not in these guys' league. Bears made a big mistake not drafting one of those two players, but that's the kind of thing that can define for a GM really their career. And so far it does for Ryan Pace. But I think when you look at these guys and their personalities, you know, young guys that are very talented, both are about to be highly paid this off season. They're both due for new contracts. They're eligible after their third year in the NFL. And I think whoever gets paid more, it's not going to begrudge the other guy. It's not like one of those kind of robberies where you know, as the young people say, hate on the other guy. No, not at all. I think they celebrate each other. And that's kind of cool, I think, at this, you know, level when you can say, okay, yeah, I'm good. He's good. I hope he does well, except when he's playing my team.
Got a couple of weeks waiting for his number two coming back out on his wide receiver tandem as the quarterback for the Texans. Looks like Will Fuller's going to be able to give it a go yes. with the injury that he had. No, there's always the possibility for a reoccurrence, but you say the field should be okay by the time they get it going tomorrow. How does getting Will Fuller back into the lineup affect the Texans offense tomorrow against the Chiefs?
It's a big deal because they were 8-3 in the regular season with Will Fuller in the lineup, 2-3 without him. They averaged 7 points more per game with Fuller, one of the top deep threats in the game. Very fast, 4.28 in the 40 coming out of Notre Dame. He won't be running 4.28 with that groin, though. They had a hamstring earlier in the year. He missed 5 games total in the regular season. This is right at the 3-week threshold. This is when we were expecting him back, and he did a good job of rehabbing and getting back. Do I expect him to be 100%? No, I do not. But I think he could change the game with one sprint and getting wide open against a corner that just can't keep up with him. I do. I just wonder, like you say, is it going to hold up? But I expect him to be active. I'm reporting he will be active. He will play. And they just have to keep a close eye on him because he's very much a guy that's prone to injuries. And it's not that he's not tough. I've seen him take big hits. I've seen him do a lot of things. And he'll play with an injury. But he just tends to get hurt, if that makes any sense. He's just not like he's soft or anything. He's just a guy that tends to have injuries, a multitude of injuries since being drafted out of Notre Dame. And it's a shame because he's not just a fast guy. He's a good football player. And the tandem, when they have him and DeAndre Hopkins together, it's a much different offense. Kenny Stills is a good football player. They've got a lot of their guys that are complimentary. But Fuller, he's got star power. This guy can change a game.
We're talking to Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle here with us on CBS Sports Radio. We saw what J.J. Watt's return meant to the team both on the field and emotionally last week. Big lift in both categories. Can he be the guy who keeps Mahomes pressured? I'm not even saying getting home and getting sacks, but getting him to either get rid of the football earlier and or maybe get a hand up and get a hand on one. How much does his pass rush mean in the effect on the game?
It's a big deal because you saw once he got into a rhythm against the Bills, a lot of it came back to him. The bull rush that he had, the rip move, all of those things. And he had a sack that gave them a lift. They held them to a field goal. From that point on, they make up that 16-0 deficit, and then they win in overtime. I think it definitely was a impactful play, not just what he did, but how it made people feel because guys out there – early, a month or two before he's supposed to, with a torn pec. And he's doing something that hasn't happened before medically in terms of football, coming back that soon. It took 8 months for Whitney Mercilus to make a full recovery when he tore his pec a couple years ago, the Texans linebacker. And J.J.'s back in a couple months. He admitted it. It hurts. He's in some pain, but it's not a situation where he can't play. And he had a play where he thought, this might be it. It's going to pop. And he landed right on his chest. He dove to make a tackle, and he was okay. And I think it'll hold up. And I think as far as affecting Patrick Mahomes, he's capable of deflecting some passes. He's also capable of beating their offensive tackles. We've seen him do it against the Chiefs in the past, and he's capable of doing it again. But you don't want him playing every single snap. They had him playing every snap in fourth quarter and overtime. He hasn't played in a long time. I think at least at the beginning, they try that sub-rush thing a little bit and try to ration out his snaps. When you want him at full strength, he's in crunch time. And I think that's when he'll play the most if this game is close.
All right. If you already shared your pick with your readers, do so again with us here. If you didn't, well, you got to do so again with us anyway, and we just won't tell anybody.
All right. I wrote this for the Houston Chronicle, and I stand by it, even with Will Fuller back. Chiefs 27, Texans 20. I think the ultimate reason why they're just not going to be able to cover these receivers long enough. And Patrick Mahomes, he'll just be a little bit better than Deshaun Watson on this day. But we'll find out. Nothing would surprise me if they did win and if Deshaun Watson is able to work magic in a big game and make clutch plays. But my pick is the Chiefs, and we'll see if I'm right.
Aaron, good stuff. Appreciate your sharing your insight with us here today. Have a good coverage tomorrow, bud.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Aaron Wilson, Houston Chronicle, Texans beat reporter. Hey, I always give props to anybody who's writing from a local standpoint. He's a Houston guy. Doesn't mean that he's on the payroll to Texans, but he knows he's writing for and to a bunch of Houston fans. But your job is to give your honest opinion. And he told us honestly, I think Kansas City's a slightly better team, and that's why I think they're going to win the game.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.